In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
Started recording like 5 minutes ago.
Oh.
I didn't really. But I did now.
Oh.
Now we're about 6 seconds in.
Okay.
So hello, everybody. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. Episode... You have one job. I'm not sure.
40?
No, we have not hit the big 4-0 yet. I am confident.
So then it's 39.
Hold on. I'm looking it up. I have to do everything around here. No, it's apparently 38.
Oh.
Liar!
Well, I got mixed up because of the holiday.
William, I'm not a witch. I'm your wife. But after what you just said, I'm not even sure I want to be that anymore. Anyway, welcome to episode 38, people. I am Tony.
And I'm William.
And this is the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast, the only one anywhere that doesn't understand why Hallmark doesn't do an entire series of movies on the one nice Nazi.
You think that would make a series?
Yeah, you know. It's probably very diminutive as well. It's like, you know, Hansel, the kindest, the littlest Nazi, you know, and he's really nice and helps people. And just one. I mean, there were tons of them. Like, there could just be one nice one.
I don't think so. I think it's a prerequisite of being able to call yourself one that you aren't nice.
Well, but apparently this podcast isn't even that. So there are no podcasts that think that way now. But Kraft dinner
brought to you free.
Yes,
from Kraft.
Brought dinner to you by nobody. But here's some Kraft dinner.
Because, you know, Nazis were nice to their families and maybe to their neighbors and to other Nazis.
Well, usually. I'm not even sure it's true that Nazis were... All Nazis were nice to other Nazis.
No, yeah, I realize that's probably
I suspect there were Nazi cliques. I suspect there were the cool Nazi tables to sit at for lunch. You know, I figured there were the Nazi nerds and the Nazi jocks and...
Right, but
the Nazi drama kids.
To pledge your allegiance to an organization that has as part of its... You know, vision for the future, it's kind of centered around hating a group of people. I mean, how can you say a person like that's nice?
It was kind of centered around hating several groups of people.
Yes, that's true.
Let's be fair. Also, you're talking tonight like Phil Collins phoning it in, so you should really be close to the microphone. Did you have an illness?
Sorry. I'm not feeling particularly well, no.
You are sort of hunched over as though cold and or in a straitjacket.
I do have a chill.
Goodness.
And I probably have a fever halfway through and then a chill again.
It's menopause. Finally kicking in. Sorry, manopause. kicking in.
But I'm sure I'll be fine. Not to worry.
You bring this plague into my house.
I didn't have to come.
I'm glad that you showed up. Yeah,
oh, okay. The thing.
I'm just going to start doing Facebook statuses on Thursday that says, William, make sure you show up to my house tonight.
I was wondering, since it's raining on the way here, and really, since this is Iowa, it ought to be snowing.
Which it's supposedly going to tonight. Not accumulate, but there's going to be flurries.
So we really need to think about recording our inclement weather episode.
Yeah, we do. And like I said, we got to do, in a couple weeks, we got to do two episodes anyway. We're going to do one special mystery episode that won't have a number that we're going to save for when William is too much of a wuss to drive over.
It'll have a number. It'll be inclement weather episode number one.
No, I think it'd be the mystery episode.
Right,
and we'll be like, you don't know when it happened.
Right, but also once it does happen, we'll have to record another one.
And in fact, maybe we've already recorded it.
We might have already recorded
long ago.
But once we play it, we'll have to record another one. So there will be a sequence of them.
Yeah, but I think it's too narrow to say it's the inclement weather episode. There could be other reasons.
Yes, there could be, I suppose. Like, I could be sick.
Yes, exactly. The inclement William episode.
No, but really? Because it is about me. I mean, I'm either sick or I can't drive here.
No, but
it's always going to be me.
This is the deal. We have to make a separate one for each. So, like, whatever the cause. This is the episode in case of the apocalypse. This is the episode if William has a flat tire. This is the episode if it's snowing. This is the episode if we've decided to end the podcast but have extra episodes. Like, this is the episode for when we go see the Nerdist live. You got to get your ticket.
I'm not going.
Why not? It's the forefather to our podcast.
Well, I appreciate that, and I give them credit for that, but I don't know. I mean, I don't listen to it.
Well, you should work on that.
Is anybody
out there in hard hat land going? Like, y'all should get your tickets too, because I think we should have a presence. Because I totally intend to email them and tell them that this podcast was, you know, inspired by them.
When is it again? April?
April. Yeah.
Well, you're really getting a jump on it.
Well, I'm trying to catch up on the episodes. Since I finally finished the audiobooks I'm going through, which was cool. Today I listened to a Comic-Con panel that had Matt Smith from Doctor Who and Karen Gillan from Doctor Who and Will Wheaton.
Why Will Wheaton?
Because Chris Hardwick was doing it, and they were roommates since they were 17.
Okay.
So he was just there. I think he had to pad some time before they could show up. So he was doing that. But it was awesome because Will Wheaton's a huge Doctor Who geek too.
Oh.
And so he's kind of geeking out, and he kind of has this whole thing for Karen Gillan. And then during that, Chris Hardwick is like, did you guys ever see the movie Stand By Me? And they're like, yeah. He's like, he was in that. And so then Matt and Karen start freaking out over, like, you were in Stand By Me? Oh my God, I love that movie. So it's always fun to watch, like, two celebrities, like, geek out over each other, I think.
Yeah. Kind of fun. Did you see that video of Felicia Day playing, you know, she has that, you know, she has that web thing. I talked about it on one of the podcasts.
Well, there's the Guild and there's the Dragon Age one.
Yeah,
and...
well, they made downloadable content for the game featuring her character.
Really?
Oh, you didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, they made, for Dragon Age 2, they made downloadable content featuring her character, Talis, in the game.
Sweet.
So there's a video out of her playing the downloadable content for the first time.
Wow.
it's really cute the way she reacts to the game, you know.
That she's a video game.
That she's in. It's pretty
that
funny.
That would be freaky.
It was pretty fun to watch.
That would be weird.
And she had to... She created a, you know, an avatar for the game because, well, you know, you have to have Talis as a character in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, you can kind of play her when she's in your party, you know, you can switch to other...
But she's not your character.
Right, so yeah. she has her avatar, and she was talking about creating her avatar and its name and how apparently Codex, which is the character...
Her guild character.
Yeah, actually...
The character that her player plays, yeah.
In the guild. That was the name that she actually used for avatars in video games.
Nice.
She can't do it anymore because everybody else does it.
Yeah.
So she had to pick a whole new name. And she was playing it. And at one point, Talis is talking to her avatar. And you can flirt with characters in the game.
Yeah.
So Talis was going to flirt with her avatar.
That is a little weird.
She thought that was pretty funny. I did too. You should find that video. It's pretty cute.
Oh, I still need to play Dragon Age 2.
Yeah.
We'll see. This week I started playing Assassin's Creed.
Oh yeah.
The first one. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. And I played a lot of Rock Band 3 over the holiday.
But you're not going to get Skyrim because the whole first person thing?
No, I'm totally going to get Skyrim eventually.
Oh. Because you can play it in third person.
Oh yeah, no, I played a lot of Oblivion.
Oh, okay. In third person?
Yeah.
How'd
actually
that...
over time, because there were certain things that just didn't work. Mm. Unless you're first person, and so frequently, like picking up stuff and things. Mm. So I would go to whatever it is, switch to first person, see it, pick it up, and then switch back. Mm. Over time, more and more, I would forget to switch back, and sometimes after a while, I would get sick. But that got longer. So the more I played it, the more I got used to it, and it got to where I frequently played large parts of it in first person, which was kind of cool. But yeah, no, I totally am going to get it eventually, but I'm a late adopter on everything. I'm going to get it when it costs $20 for the Game of the Year edition that has the expansions in it, and they fixed all the bugs and everything.
Right.
Yeah, it's much easier. And I used to not even, I wouldn't even be on my radar at this point except for freaking Ben, who plays my role-playing game, and he gets every video game like right away and stuff, and so I'm hearing about it from him. Yeah, so now I know what I'm missing.
My house is playing Skyrim.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. I got another couple of players on Tuesday's game got way, way into it, so I had to shut them all down. And one other one was listening to K-pop, so I had to shut them all down.
How's your game going, by the way?
Pretty good, pretty good. We're into a whole new sort of adventure here. I'm still sort of doing something wrong. I'm trying to be less railroady about it. I'm trying to be less, you know, forcing them down a certain path.
Right.
But they don't seem to be jumping up to sort of fill the space exactly, so I'm not sure.
Like they're begging for more direction.
Well, something. I don't know. It's just I'm like, okay, you guys are... And like, there's just a lot of times where it's just sort of quiet or nobody does it. Like, it's, I don't know. I'm still working on it. And it's probably because they're used to me pushing them around. And I got to, because
that's what
that.
You do.
But I do, and I don't mean to in GMing. I try and fix that, but I'm working on it. It is going well. I'm very happy with it. I shouldn't say it's bad. I'm always questioning myself after every session. I'm like, I could have done this better and this, and so.
Well, when last we talked on Thanksgiving.
Yes, that time.
Wink, wink.
Thanks today.
You were talking about the possibility of going to see the Muppet movie.
Why, yes, I did see the Muppet movie, in fact.
And, well, how was it?
It was fine. I should say I went with, like, 8 other people. And as near as I can tell, all other 8, with the possible exception of the producer, because I never know what the producer's thinking about movies, all the others really seemed to enjoy it a lot.
Oh.
So I could be weird. And I didn't not enjoy it.
Well, did it have all the problems that you'd heard it was going to have with the plot and with...
Some... I will say this, for not having Frank Oz doing the voices, whoever was doing them did a really good job.
Hmm.
Like, I even knew to listen, and it still sounded pretty dead on.
Hmm.
It's very nostalgic. I just kind of... How do I put this? I don't see what the point of having the movie was.
It's because someone wanted to do it, I guess.
But I mean, it wasn't better than the old ones. It wasn't different than the old ones. It didn't bring anything new to the table other than a large sense of sort of wistfulness. A lot of the plot involves sort of being kind of sad about the fact that everybody's forgotten the Muppets kind of thing.
Well, maybe there's the answer right there. They kind of wanted to reintroduce it for a new generation kind of thing.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to work.
Well, why not? I mean, think about it. All the kids who are 8 years old or 6 years old going to see it now, this is the Muppet movie they're going to remember when they're...
Except they've all seen the other ones or they're not going to see this. Well, I mean,
I don't know if they've seen the other ones.
It's not like their parents were like, huh, we forgot to ever show our kid any Muppet stuff. Now we'll go to this movie.
Well... Either
they're not going to see it now, or they've seen it on Netflix, or, you know, whatever.
But, well,
else.
They probably will see it now. That's just it.
What did you say, producer? YouTube. Yeah. God, we show Phenomena to our freaking nephew all the time. He's obsessed with
Phenomena. We kind of went out of our way to show the kids the Muppets, but if we hadn't, they never would have seen the original Muppet movies or the Muppet show. They would never have seen it.
Yeah, but do you think if you were the sort that didn't go out of your way, you would have cared about them seeing? And that's the thing. Maybe it's supposed to be directed towards a new audience. The whole thing is incredibly nostalgic and self-referential.
If I weren't the type of person...
If it was doing it for a new audience, it's not doing it right.
If I weren't the type of person to go out of my way, I would be the kind of person who, over the holidays, wanting to take my kids to a movie that I was pretty sure wasn't going to have nudity or swearing in it, I'd go take them to see
this
movie.
Which is why it's been financially successful. I don't think it's the start of a new empire.
If they liked it, I'd buy the DVD. You see what I'm saying? You don't know what's going to get started once you show this to a new generation of kids. You don't know if they'll really latch on to it, if you can start making a show again during the day or whatever. And it's going to be very different to the adults who liked the old stuff because Jim Henson's not part of it. Yeah. Frank Oz is not as big a part of it. But it's not, no one's going to notice that if they're a kid. And before you know it, that's the Muppet Show and the Muppets that they know.
Okay, that would be weird because that's not how this movie was at all.
Well,
this movie was totally a, remember the Muppets? Oh, weren't they so awesome?
Well, yeah,
oh,
but that doesn't
the
mean...
The kid in all of us.
That doesn't
oh, look,
mean that...
Remember when you saw Muppets? Oh, look, it's Muppets. Oh, is it? Oh.
Right, but the plan could still be, let's breathe life into this old franchise for a new generation.
So that was the plan. See, I believe that. That somebody was like, at Disney, was like, we can fucking make money on this. And look, we've got Jason Segel, who's kind of a movie star now, who's desperate to relive his childhood yet again through this thing. Let's let him write it and be in it. And they said, okay. And so they did it.
Yeah.
Which, again, from my perspective, not owning any stock in Disney, Universal, or whoever it is, why? Like, I...
You don't think it's going to work?
From a filmmaking perspective, I don't understand the point. From an artistic perspective, I don't see the point of this movie. As somebody said, a friend of mine on Facebook, that they enjoyed watching it, but the whole time they were primarily thinking the money spent making this could have been done making an original property.
Right,
that would have been cool.
But then it's not a commercial. I mean... Disney films, in general, are just feature-length commercials for their products. They own this product now. They have to have something out there advertising it. And so that's what this is.
Oh, my God. I think this is the first conversation in the history of our knowing each other where you're the cynical. Seriously.
Well,
I think this
the
is
truth.
The first time this has ever come up. If you say people are stupid, I'm going to know that like we body switched or something.
Well, I think that's just how Disney operates these days. Don't you think that's true?
And I don't think you're wrong. So I keep trying to tailor my restate my response. I thought it was fine. Unfortunately, I thought it was exactly like what you're saying.
Oh, okay. Well, that would kind of take
all
the fun.
Whereas I don't feel that way about all the other Muppet things in the past.
No, no.
This one appears to have been just that.
Yeah, yeah.
It was fun, though, because it was so self-referential. It did get to make some jokes that other Muppet stuff couldn't have made because of that,
right.
That were funny. But it was also bad because it was so self-referential, it got to make a lot of jokes that were like that that weren't funny.
Hmm.
So, it was but some were good. Kermit the Frog had an 80s robot that was like his butler and driver and stuff. That was like one of the old remote control robot things and would come out and offer you a tab or a new Coke. And would use its modem to connect to things.
But how did that play off with him living in an expensive place?
Well, here's the deal. We never got into why all of this happened.
Oh.
And although we did actually get into the fact that apparently... Miss Piggy's the one who paid for the house. Like, that came up because we had the requisite in every Muppet movie, Piggy and Kermit talk about their relationship bit.
Mm-hmm.
And she mentioned that she built a house for them, and he's like, who do you think's been living there all these years, keeping it up?
Well, where did she go?
She went to Paris. she's the plus-size editor for Vogue.
Frank Oz says she was born in Iowa. Did you know that?
I did not know that. It would explain a few things and raise questions about other things. But I don't want to talk about the Muppet movie. I want to talk about a different movie.
I know that you talked about it on Facebook.
Movie I saw last night.
You want to talk about Leftovers.
Producer says you want to talk about Leftovers.
Producer says I want to talk about Leftovers.
Is Leftovers a show or is it
no.
really Leftovers?
Leftovers is about Leftovers. Leftovers is about my mother-in-law.
And also your family.
And also people... Well, I'm getting to that. It's a staged story here. There's phases to it.
I'm so glad the producer doesn't talk to you from a booth in your ear. Because it's so
I
much
I don't know.
Nicer.
Now that we've got the mic situation fixed, I don't know if she's getting picked up. But she has walked into the room, people. So listen carefully for her telling me I'm wrong.
You don't have to listen that carefully.
There you go. Okay, so it's Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
We're at my in-laws.
In-laws.
It's a morning. So
you're at the producer's parents.
Yes. Late morning. And there is the smell of turkey wafting through the house. You know why?
I suppose because turkey is being
cooked in the oven. Yes. Yeah. Turkey come out of the oven about 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, sure.
This is a little weird because we're supposed to eat at like 5.
Oh.
Because some of the people have a different Thanksgiving thing that happens at noon. And so then we're going to wait and they're going to do an evening.
It's a little early for the turkey.
It is a little bit early, but there's a plan to this. Do you know why it's a little bit early? We're not eating that turkey.
You're not eating that turkey.
We are not eating that turkey. You know what that turkey is?
No.
That's a leftover turkey.
So they have leftovers.
Yeah. It's a whole turkey that we don't eat that's leftovers because my mother-in-law, I'm sorry, my producer-in-law, I don't know, my mother-in-law wanted to do the 25-pound turkey. Didn't have a 25-pound turkey, so took 2 12-pound turkeys, cooked one, deboned it, put it in a Ziploc bag, and threw it in the fridge.
And wouldn't let anybody touch it.
No, nobody could touch it.
Right, because you see, I understand this perfectly. When you have Thanksgiving, you have to be eating turkey for like a week.
Yes.
And if something happens where that won't take place, like you have twice as many people, or like you said, you can't find the size turkey you want, well, that messes it all up.
But it's still hilarious to me because, like, it had to be pristine. Like, we couldn't touch. I'm like, if we eat this turkey, some of it now, we'll be more full and we'll eat less of the other. It'll still be left, like, it's still 25 pounds of turkey, you know. But we couldn't touch that one. Like, that would, hands off, that is the leftover turkey. And it just seems so American to me that the completely cooked and untouched turkey is leftover.
Well, yeah.
But, so
Tony thinks this is ridiculous. Yeah. So he calls his family.
They think, what a great idea.
No, I call my family, and I find out my family have done one better than this.
Oh, already?
They did not have a leftover turkey. They had a leftover tofurkey.
What? Why?
Yeah!
Why did they have a leftover tofurkey?
Why did they have one in the first place? Yeah, holy crap. Yeah, but but we have tofurkey because my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, is vegetarian.
Tofurkeys are good, by the way.
Yeah, they're not bad. I've had them. I prefer corn, but they're not bad.
Yeah, those are okay, too. And field roast has a nice thing, too.
But so he has a tofurkey, and he likes tofurkey, and he eats tofurkey. Apparently, my 70-something meat-eating father has decided he kind of likes tofurkey, too. So he eats turkey, but he'll eat at the tofurkey enough that with one tofurkey, there's not any leftovers for the vegetarian.
I see.
So my sister buys 2 tofurkeys. Bless you, by the way. And saves one. And she says, like, a day later or whatever, she's going to cook it for his leftovers. And so then I had to apologize to my in-laws because I'm like, my family is crazier than y'all.
Well, I have to tell you, when I became a vegetarian and, you know, stopped eating turkey, obviously.
Yes.
One of the things I missed wasn't going to Thanksgiving and eating turkey, because for some reason that didn't bother me at all, not eating turkey on Thanksgiving. You'd think that the first Thanksgiving you don't eat turkey if you've eaten it all your life. And I became a vegetarian when I was 20-something, I don't know, 22, 23.
William is old, for new people who don't know.
You'd think that that would have been, oh, wow, this is the first Thanksgiving I'm not having turkey. That'd be significant. But it wasn't. Because there's all kinds of other food. And for some reason, when you become a vegetarian for the first time, it doesn't seem like a big deal that you're not eating turkey. But afterwards.
Yes.
There's no leftovers, really.
Because it's all based around the turkey sandwich. I mean, we have leftover potatoes and stuff.
Yeah, but it's mostly turkey.
But I build it all into the sandwich.
That's right. Turkey sandwich with some, maybe some butter or whatever, or mustard.
And I'll put stuffing on it.
Or even
potatoes,
other things,
and gravy,
like put it in a
like
casserole or grind it into a
salad. But
yeah,
it's all based on the leftover turkey.
So,
well, turkey rice and gravy is a big one with my
in-laws. The Thanksgiving day, no big deal. But for the week afterwards, when it was like, what, that's it? That's all. It's like one day now when Thanksgiving used to be like a week-long thing, because the turkey would last.
So vegetarians are less thankful.
No.
Yes.
Well,
vegetarians are bitter.
So then,
and that's why most vegetarians become terrorists.
It was many years later when I discovered they had things like tofurkey and the field roast, whatever. But those are so small.
Yeah, they're not. No, they're
they
not
really big. Don't make for a
it's
lot
not
of
like a 25-pound
right.
Tofurkey.
So I also encouraged
Because they all know it's not a vegetarian family. It's just the one freakish cousin or whatever.
So after the first couple times of just getting one, you know, we started getting more than one too. And we wouldn't even cook the other one. We wouldn't need it. But it would be there for the week.
So you
could feel like, this is Thanksgiving. Because Thanksgiving was just not just one day. It was a whole bunch of days because of the leftovers.
I should say, actually, and this is a thing for everybody to remember for next year because it's too late. But a good thing to do with leftover turkey that my in-laws do is you take the leftover turkey, you take the leftover gravy, you cook up some white rice, and you mix it all together. It's just called turkey rice and gravy, and it's tasty.
Oh, yeah. That does sound good.
But anyway, I don't want to talk about leftover turkey. I don't want to talk about Muppet Movie. I want to talk about a different movie that I saw last night.
Yeah, well, let's get it out.
That I really, really like.
Yeah, what was it?
Movie was called Ink.
I-N-C?
I-N-K.
I-N-K.
Ink, as in the stuff you put in a pen.
Uh-huh.
Ink.
I might have seen this, but I don't remember.
You might have. It's available on Netflix Instant. It is a... I'm guessing sort of low-budget indie film that falls under the category of sci-fi and fantasy, I would say. It is very weird. I can't say, having seen it now, that I completely understand it at this point. But that's the thing. Take all the movies that were these low-budget indie sci-fi things and stuff that tried to be sort of avant-garde and different and interesting and artistic and all this stuff and really kind of fell short.
Mm-hmm.
Things like Equilibrium come to mind.
Yes, yes.
Or that damn what's the weird time travel one with the two guys who make a time machine in the storage locker?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Primer! Yeah, that damn thing.
It's called Primer?
Yes. I don't remember all those... This movie did it. This movie succeeded at being that kind of movie for me. And just from a filmmaking standpoint, it's gorgeous. And I mean, like I say, I believe it's a lower budget film, but what they managed to pull off with a lower budget is just amazing to me. And I don't really want to say what it's about because I think it's way more fun going into it that way. I will say this. It is not a movie for children in that... There is some violence. There's quite a bit of swearing. And it's also the kind of plot that I'm like, I think children would get bored. It is a confusing movie. So even if you're getting near the end and you don't quite understand it, don't like worry or give up. You do kind of need to pay attention. And it is somewhat arty, I would say, in places. Not like freakishly so. But so I give you that sort of claim to decide whether or not you would like. But that being said, I recommend it pretty unreservedly. And William, I very strongly recommend it to you if you have not seen it. After we're off the air, I can... Well, no, I don't want to tell you what it's about.
Don't tell me.
If you haven't seen it, it's better if you don't know.
I'm thinking of another film that I'm sure isn't...
I will say, too, based on the picture on the, like, the little thumbnail on Netflix, I, for some reason, assumed it was a Japanese anime. And it is not Japanese or Asian at all, and it's not animated.
Okay.
So, I don't know what I was thinking.
All right, then.
Producer has a question, yes?
Did you say that it's currently available to watch instantly?
Yes, I said that right up front. It's currently available on Netflix to watch instantly. The film is called Ink, I-N-K. Check it out. It's an hour and 46 minutes. Good movie. Good soundtrack, too.
Okay.
Nobody I know in it, but very well performed.
Okay.
So, yes, I highly recommend that. Afterwards, Trish looks at me, she's like, what'd you think? And I was like, I'm still not sure what entirely happened, but I loved it. It was very awesome.
You say that a lot.
So, and
I'm not sure what happened, but I loved it.
They stole a little bit from an idea that I've been having for years on a series of novels I was going to read, and I think they stole a little bit from Twilighters.
Well, we'll have to take a look.
Yeah, so we could get a lawsuit going.
Which I sent you some stuff.
I know. You sent me... I now have the third one to read, and okay. I have the final copy of the second one so that I can get myself back up to speed. It's going to be a little bit because I'm reading the Foundation stuff right
That's
now.
That's right. I'm just mentioning that. It because I didn't know
yes.
if you even got it.
I did get it, and I want to get to it soon, but I got other shit going on right now. I feel bad. Yeah, somebody else tried to get me to read.
You've got stuff to read that doesn't suck. That's what
somebody else tried to get me to read their novel, and I was really enthused about it, and then I just never did it, and I feel bad, and especially now because I'm like, no, I'm going to read your other one, and I still never read theirs. But I'm pretty sure I specifically told them about this podcast, and they've never listened to. So you know, screw them.
Well, I'm probably going to have it out and published before the end of the year. So
really. Mm-hmm. So you're having me read the draft, but whatever I have to say isn't going to matter.
It depends on how fast you read it.
I don't read that fast.
I mean, if you don't have it read before the 31st, no.
This is what I'm saying. I'm like,
you're if you haven't read it before, published. Say the 15th or 16th, yeah, probably.
Yeah, I find that incredibly unlikely.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I had so much impact on the first book.
Yes, and like, you did. And the second one.
No, barely on the second. I only read one draft of the second one.
You really did.
But I got nothing to do with this one.
Well, I'm just.
You're just warning me now. Like this is what you're gonna. Does this have stuff about me in it? Is that what this?
No,
is?
I'm just getting tired of it not being done. And if I don't,
then why didn't you give it to me sooner?
Well, because I was waiting for other things to happen that didn't happen.
Ugh.
I intended to give it to you much sooner, but I thought, well, I'll give it one more.
Well, if these other things didn't happen, that probably means it's rougher than it might have been.
No,
so
because
you need my help.
No, because I went ahead and made changes to it anyway and fixed
it. Yeah,
but
on your own.
Like, I know, that's right.
I don't think I've ever explained to you. You're a horrible writer.
I know that. That's
like,
why I have
people.
Without
my very tedious and careful examination of every word, it's not even readable.
All right, well.
So you've got to wait for my opinion.
I am waiting for it, but I won't wait forever. That's what I'm saying.
Classic love story. What?
Nothing.
Producer's just in here like staring at shit in the room. Like I don't.
She's probably listened to our last few podcasts.
Trying to manifest a loom.
You're trying to manifest a loom.
What?
Oh yeah, you won't be able to see it from that angle.
Good job, baby.
Don't think that means you made it work. I
how do
not,
you know?
I am not the instrument of your cosmic power.
Do you see $1 million?
No, but I don't see the loom anymore, so. Get your loom out of there.
See another one of those?
Maybe it's hooked to it, I don't know.
I figured maybe she listened to the last couple
podcasts. Please pardon us. We're experiencing technical difficulties involving technology that has nothing to do with this podcast. Technical difficulties involving weaving.
For centuries.
Yes. So pardon us. Sing something while we're waiting. Go.
No.
Have you heard of the song Pumped Up Kicks?
Pumped Up
Kicks.
Kicks?
By a group called Foster the People.
No.
It is a fiendishly genius song.
Okay.
Here's the thing. It's really upbeat and catchy and kind of cool in that sort of, you know, jazzy rock sort of way. And it's a very neat song. And it's very, and you know, you just bop along and you get it stuck in your head. It's one of the few songs I can get stuck in my head for like a day and I don't get sick of it. And all I have in my head is the chorus and it's still, you know, it's really catchy and wonderful. But here's the thing. The subject matter of the song, the lyrics of the song,
yeah,
about a kid getting angry and going to school and shooting all of his friends.
I see.
It's freaky. It's like such a sad, sad song that they did in this weird way that, like, it's so... It's disturbingly genius. Freaks me out. And I love the song, and it still freaks me out. It's weird.
You have an interesting concept of genius.
I do! Well, of course I do. I'm here. Got this podcast. This podcast is genius.
It really is.
No, I mean, it's,
except for me.
If they did it accidentally, I'd be like, "Oh, you're not taking this seriously." No, but this was a very intentional thing on their part. They're making a statement by doing this.
The idea for the podcast, the magic title, all that, perfectly great. And then when you decided to ask me, then it went right
down
the toilet.
William, you are my Persian flaw.
I am.
You are the
anti-genius.
You are the one sucky thing about the podcast to highlight the awesomeness of everything else.
If
without you here, it would just have a bland sameness of awesomeness, and no one would really notice.
Oh, so I'm here for contrast.
Exactly. Yeah, same. Like, we see how awesome everything else is in comparison.
I'm thinking if Einstein would have had a friend like me, he just would never have made it.
He's dead now, so maybe he did.
Maybe.
Matt Smith claims that you should read the book of Einstein quotes while sitting on the toilet.
Because why?
I don't know, but he did. And he says it makes you feel smarter. I don't... See, he brought up the sitting on the toilet part, and I don't really think that was integral to the whole thing, but I made a point of it. Okay. It's very weird.
Okay. Because that's when you have time.
Maybe. I think so, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a book of quotes, so it's not like a story or anything. Yeah, right, so right. I think... But no, he recommends it. He says you feel very smart afterwards, and it's very cool.
Among other things.
Among other things.
Maybe we should get to the hat.
Oh, the hat. Okay.
I know when we start talking about toilets, we probably better move on.
You always think that.
Vermond.
Oh, Vermond. Vermont, who today specifically posted on Facebook something about not being a loudmouth, attention-seeking whore or something. And it was a physical effort of will not to just comment and say, yes, you are. But I did not, and so I'm very proud of myself, because I would never say such things to Vermont because it would hurt him. Hi, Vermont. What does Vermont have to say?
Well, first he starts it by saying, dear hat thingy.
Hat thingy. Ah. That sounds terribly unwholesome. Yeah. And I don't approve.
Dear hat thingy.
Mm. Also, the thingy doesn't talk.
Who would win in a fight between Cthulhu and Pennywise the Clown from It? Well,
that's hardly a thing.
Yeah, I
mean, let's see. Planet-destroying monster from beyond the stars, or scary, admittedly supernatural thing that eventually was just killed by the bare hands of a bunch of people who were terrified as children.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Pennywise the Clown actually has been killed. Cthulhu, beyond such petty concerns as life and death.
Yeah, I think we decided this one pretty easily.
Although, I do have to say, like, a poster featuring both of them, like, together, like, you know, like, one with their arm around the other one's shoulder kind of thing or whatever, would be really fucking scary. Picture that, like, you know, Pennywise, and then Cthulhu, like, with maybe a tentacle wrapped around his shoulders in companionship.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, it'd be freaky. Did you see the Call of Cthulhu movie that somebody put out?
No.
I think it might also be on Netflix. Somebody, it's sort of a fan-made one, but it, like, got official release and stuff. And apparently it's very cool, and it's done in sort of a silent movie, black and white style. I haven't seen it yet. I have borrowed it from somebody, and I still have it, but I haven't watched it yet. And I think it's only, like, an hour long. I had never actually read Call of Cthulhu. I had read other Lovecraft, because I sort of sat down and said, I should read other Lovecraft. But recently I decided, again, because of that website I've told you about before, that's hplovecraft.com, that has all of his currently existent writings are available there, because they're all, you know, way before copyright.
Right.
And so I went and I actually read Call of Cthulhu. It's not a bad story. It's not his best. Have you ever read any Lovecraft?
No.
You should. It's some good stuff. Some of it is good stuff. Some of it's weird and pointless. But some of it's very good. A lot of the ones that, like, are famous to me are not some of my favorites. Like the Dunwich Horror and... I forget. One, Call of Cthulhu and other ones. The ones that I didn't know... At the Mountains of Madness was good, which is kind of a famous one. But my favorite, I think, is the Case of Charles Dexter Ward, which I think may also be his longest one ever written, but I really like that one.
Coincidentally, our household just returned Lovecraft book to the library just today.
So somebody else in your house is reading Lovecraft.
Out of the Mountains of Madness, that one. Okay. Which was enjoyed.
It's a good one, and supposedly they were going to make a movie out of it. Del Toro was going to make a movie out of it, I think. But
I think that's how it ended up getting read. What? Yeah. How do these coincidences occur with the hat and things going on? The hat just must know what's going on.
Magic.
I guess.
We say the hat doesn't talk. The hat is still magic.
Yes, that's true.
Duh.
So if you were a fight promoter and you were looking for an opponent to Cthulhu, who would you pick? Not Pennywise, obviously, but who?
Galactus.
That's a good one.
Well, and here's the thing.
That makes sense, I guess.
Like, Cthulhu, I'm not going to say Cthulhu's not an elder god, the likes of which could destroy us all in the blink of one of its many eyes. But in the grand scheme of old ones, Cthulhu's not anywhere near the top of that food chain.
No, that's right. And he's just sort of become symbol
he's still
for...
relatively earthbound and stuff. I mean, like, he's not even out in space. He's here. Beneath this very house. And we brought him here today, people. Come
yes,
on.
Yes, let's hear it for Cthulhu.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's what I want to see, like, on the final season of Oprah. They brought out Cthulhu. Yeah, I think Galactus would be a good choice.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you pull out some other Yogg-Sothoth or whatever. I don't know how to say it. Nam Shub of Enki. No, wait, that's Snowcrash. Sorry.
Well, you know more about these things than I do, so.
All things, except Muppets.
I don't know about that, even.
Muppet movie had a montage to the tune of We Built the City on Rock and Roll. Because that needed to happen.
Yeah, that's one more reason not to watch it.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about. I don't know, who would you pit against Cthulhu?
Oh, I have no idea.
We've probably said him enough times he's going to come and kill us.
Probably those monsters that are in Hellboy that they were bringing through, which that part of the story
those
was a Lovecraft
pretty much
hinge.
Were them. Oh, God, that pissed me off.
Rip off.
Oh, God. Hellboy was a great movie until, like, the last 20 minutes, and then it got super stupid. And that stupidity continued for the entirety of Hellboy 2. Which was a shit movie. I was so mad about that also. But everything before in fact, I don't remember for sure. It's been a while since I've seen Hellboy. But I think I even figured out there's a point in Hellboy about 20 minutes earlier that could have been the end of the movie. And I was like, you could have just stopped it there. It would have been great. And then they kept going and it sucked. But I don't remember for sure.
I don't either.
And the second one sucked. But anyway.
Well, thank you, Vermond, for...
thank you so much, Vermond, for your
question.
Wildly unbalanced fight suggestion. Don King, you ain't. But we appreciate the effort.
Yes. Yes, we do.
You know what we really need? I don't even think we need more questions. We need more questions from people who haven't written in before, because it's really becoming the show in which the hat has us talk about the questions of like six people.
Mm-hmm.
And admittedly, I think there's only like 12 listening, but that means there's like six others
who aren't writing in.
Yes, the silent six. Speaking of the not silent six, here's Mark McKibben with a question specifically for William that I'm pretty sure was already addressed, but we can do it again. Never let it be said we do not repeat ourselves on this podcast.
I don't think that would ever be said.
Never let it be said that we do not repeat ourselves on this podcast.
Okay.
You were supposed to say, I don't think...
Yeah, I know.
Because we...
Let's move on.
God. Worst comedy team in history.
So?
William, colon. Do you think your last name is colon?
No.
William Colin, reporting for duty.
Mm-mm, don't like it.
How was Metropolis at the Englert? Signed, Mark.
Oh, that's sweet for him to ask.
It is. Not timely, per se.
No, and I did talk at length about it before, so I suppose there's no point.
It was good, if I recall.
Yes, I liked it a lot.
And?
It had a lot of added... had a lot of stuff
product
added to
placement,
it. It had a lot of stuff added to it that hadn't been seen for a long time. They also,
in fact, wasn't this version actually called Tyler Perry's Metropolis? That would have been awesome.
And the music was good. They had a little I think it was three guys doing a little.
Three was what you said at the time.
Yeah, there were two percussionists who were doing a lot of. Some of the percussion they were doing was like sound effect type stuff. So when a door opened, it sort of sounded.
Oh.
There was like a creak and whatever. And then most of the actual instrumentation orchestration was just done by a guy on a keyboard, but it sounded really good. So
so basically Stomp and Yanni
kind of
were running the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's a show I would
see. I know, that sounds like
any movie. Sounds like any, I don't even care the movie. Just replace the sound with live performance by two guys from Stomp and Yanni doing all the sound effects.
It sounds like a sitcom. Stomp and Yanni.
Stomp and Yanni.
So yeah, it was very good. But I won't
What happens when a Greek,
belabor the point.
When a Greek New Age composer moves in with two Australian percussionists? Hijinks ensue. Yanni, my girlfriend's coming over tonight. I think we're gonna do it. Can you play us some mood music? Yes, I can. All of life is precious. That's what he says. Oh my god. I am a recovering Yanni fan. Yes, I have to admit that on the show. I went to see Yanni in concert when I was younger. I paid for it. I was a big Yanni fan. I still own 3 albums of his. And yeah, that's the stuff he says. This is Dulet. This song was about how each of us is special inside and all of life is precious. He's a big old New Agey freak from the get-go. That's the stuff that he says with the little Greek accent.
Oh, man.
And he and Stomp just do not get along. It doesn't help that the apartment is not very big.
Yeah, you know, right. But, and they have different sets of friends.
Yeah, but. Yeah. It gets... But I smell ratings gold.
But
here.
He'll still play the moon music.
He will,
because
all the time, because all life, of is, life precious. Is precious. Especially when you're trying to do it. And he dated Linda Evans for years.
What?
He did. Yanni dated Linda Evans for years.
Oh, wow, I didn't know.
Lucky
that.
Bastard. But no, she eventually broke up with him. I think I found that out on Wikipedia or something.
That sounds really funny to me.
So, Metropolis.
That was good.
Really? Good.
I'm sure he's listened to me go on about it for the first half hour of one
Mark
of our podcasts.
Listens.
He, you know, jerk. He's hard-headed.
Hard-headed number one.
Yes.
There is not a single point in our episodes that he does not address, which reminds me, the rest of you should go to the blog and see what Mark has to say, because I don't ever feel like we're beating it here. But he has a lot to say, and some of it's very interesting. So you should go and see Mark and other people saying things. Oh my god, including our first meme.
Yeah.
Thanks to Kia B. At least I think that was the Kia.
Yeah, it was Kia B.
We have a meme. Those of you not on Facebook, you should go look. It's on the blog at themagicaltalkinghead.com. It's a lolcat about the hat. It's adorable. I love it. Make some more.
Yeah, we need more memes.
Although Mark claims that if we do the sad Keanu one, we're going to get sued.
Oh.
But I figured that could be really... At this point, getting sued could only help us.
Yeah, any publicity is good publicity.
Exactly, exactly.
Really.
Getting sued by... would it be Keanu's people? Or
I don't know.
But the sad people eating sandwiches on a bench?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, hopefully Mark will address it in his comments for this episode. But I think that would be good for us, so we should do that.
Yeah, let's do it.
I really just want a Ryan Gosling one.
Yeah, that one was my favorite that you mentioned.
Hey, girl.
Yeah.
Why don't I take off my shirt? We'll get under this duvet together, snuggle up, and listen to the hat.
Yeah, that was my favorite one. Oh, that kept me laughing for a long time.
What I love is, have you ever seen, there was an interview where Ryan Gosling recited Ryan Gosling memes.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, it was awesome. Because they all start with, hey, girl.
He has a very unfortunate name, if you ask me.
It's cute.
Gosling.
Ryan Gosling.
No.
It's a little baby. I saw a children's book someplace the other day called Here Comes Gosling. And I was like, is that about Ryan Gosling? I don't think it is. But it'd be cool. It says, Here Comes Gosling. And it has this little baby goose on the front. And you open it up and it's like, hey, girl. Let's learn the ABCs. Ryan Gosling children's book. Hey, girl, let's count by twos. That'll go with feminist Ryan Gosling. We'll not have elementary education Ryan Gosling.
For girls.
For only for girls, exactly. We can't say, hey, boys and girls. Then it just sounds like pervy Mr. Rogers.
Messed up now. No, right. You're right.
Okay. All right, people. Get on those memes. And get on those iTunes reviews. I haven't seen any more since our three. We have three, though. I don't know. I'm so pissed off at iTunes because we have three now, and they still say, we don't have enough reviews to give you an average rating. How many fucking reviews do they need? We have three of them. They're 5 stars. You know what our average rating is? 5 stars, iTunes. Just say it. Say it. I want to hear you say it, iTunes.
Well, they probably want to do other things other than just give us...
5 stars?
No. Like, if... Okay, so we have three ratings. They say we have 5 stars. Well, yes. Maybe they do things with people who have 5-star ratings, like promote them to the front of the page of the search or something.
Exactly.
Well, they probably don't want to do that for people who can get 3 friends to make 3 5-star reviews.
None of those people are my friends.
Okay, what I'm saying is...
None of those people are your friends.
They probably need to be like 100 reviews.
They are stark strangers. They are people who actively hate us, and yet they have to admit that our podcast is, quote, oddly compelling and quote better in the live show.
Okay, but that's still only three.
Everybody can get that.
That's still only three.
But it's not how many reviews you have, it's who reviewed. These are influential people.
It is how many.
Some of them went to art school.
We don't even know if they finished art school.
I didn't say finished. I said went to.
I know that. And that's what I'm...
I should have said went to an art school. Like, went to the building, changed their name to something pretentious, and left. Some of them are from foreign lands. By which I mean Texas.
And Belgium.
No, just Texas.
Okay.
That was the joke. Thank you, Captain. Explain it for us. That was the joke, is that it was... I was talking about...
I get the joke.
Well, then why did you say that? You
really don't know.
People at home were about to laugh such that we could even hear them, and now they've stopped. Okay. So reality was going to be bent that we might hear the laughs of future people. And it hasn't happened now because of you. Your mother and I have been terribly disappointed in you, William. We sent you to the best private school we could afford. Which admittedly was the next door neighbor.
And for some reason, I'm just not feeling bad about it at all.
It's because you have no soul. All right. Should we get another question?
Okay.
All right. In the sitcom, I'm playing both Stomp Guys and you have to play Yanni.
Okay.
Got to grow a mustache.
I think he shaved.
Yeah. That'd be awful.
I think he did.
How would you know that?
I think I saw a picture of him recently. See, another coincidence. I think, like, 2 days ago, I saw a little picture of him on, like, AOL or something. I didn't read the story, but they mentioned him.
And he was. Why are you on AOL?
Because I have an AOL account still.
What?
I know.
And how have we not been discussing this?
Well, look, some people, that's the only one they have, and I can't seem to convince them to send stuff to other places, so.
What, AOL people can't email other people?
No. I've had AOL for, like...
You
ages.
Know how you convince them? You shut it down.
Yeah, I could do that, I guess.
Like, because you know what century we're in?
Yeah, I know.
The 21st century? You know, AOL? Previous century.
Yes, I know.
Like, you know what else was the previous century? Telegraph.
Well, kind of, yeah.
Okay, it might have been the other one,
yeah, it was
too,
the other one. It was the one before, really, television.
No, but we still use that. I'm trying to think of some severely
we don't
outdated 20th century technology. Oh, I know. AOL.
Okay. Dear TMTH, do you have any plans for the pending ecosystem collapse?
Who is this?
An ARC, perhaps, from Cheryl.
From Cheryl. We have not heard from Cheryl for a while.
No, it has been a while.
Cheryl does still listen, although she's not necessarily up to date. Cheryl plays in my Traveler game. And so I know this because I harass her there. Cheryl was also so kind and sweet that when she heard about my mother-in-law's fight with cancer and that all her hair will go fall out, she knitted her hats. Two hats. Crocheted.
No big difference. Man, you just...
Oh, no kidding, because crochet is ass. I fucking hate crochet. That's a different story, though.
But that's what she did to make the hat.
And it's very sweet and better her than me. Oh, I fucking hate crochet. Crochet and I have got history.
So anyhow.
But anyway, she made hats that my mother-in-law was very grateful about and wears. I saw her with them at Thanksgiving. They're very nice, and so that was very sweet of Cheryl. But catch up on the damn podcast. If you're listening to this and it's been a long time since Thanksgiving, shame on you, Cheryl. But so was there a question? Oh, you already read it. Read it again, because I've already forgotten.
Do you have any plans for the pending ecosystem collapse? An arc, perhaps. I think she's anticipating that there's going to be some flooding, I think. And I don't know. I don't know what the hat's plan is for ecological collapse.
Hat, don't talk. What is your plan for the ecological collapse?
Oh, but my plan?
Yes.
Oh. I don't have a plan.
Why not?
You know, I'm just making things up as I go, I guess. Why, do you have a plan?
I have the same plan that I have for every major disaster, catastrophe, apocalypse that will occur. I am totally one of the first people up against the wall. Like, whatever the disaster, I am in the initial wave of people dying. Because, like, financial collapse, I barely make any money and have no particular impressive savings. Zombie attack, I hate running. Starvation, like, famine, like, I can't go an hour without eating, let alone... you know, longer. Also, I am big and tender, so in the event of famine, people will eat me first. Like, any sort of, you know, ethnic cleansing, I frequently claim to be members of races and ethnicities that have nothing to do with me just for fun. So I'll probably say the wrong one. Yeah, I mean, invasion,
Yeah, but ecological collapse, you know, that can mean a lot of things.
Yeah, and I haven't stored up any shit. I don't know how to garden. Like, I'm hosed.
Because it could just be, if you're just talking about warming, you know, there might not be a huge direct impact on the Midwest. There will be an impact economically, I suppose.
Is this going to be another one of your things are just a little different in Iowa speeches?
No.
Because I can only handle some of those heartwarming tales periodically. And we had one a couple
of times. I don't have a plan. Because...
that's unlike you.
I suppose that I'm thinking that the changes that are going to take place, the massive changes that will take place in the not-so-distant future will be the kind where, you know, you can't really predict exactly what's going to happen. You kind of have to go with the flow, you know. And I'm living in a part of the country where, as I said, like, if I lived in New York City or something, I'd probably leave there. Or any coastal place, I'd probably leave. I think the only thing you can do to prepare, if you don't want to be directly impacted, you should be inland like we are, but we've already got that covered. If you want to be insulated from the damage in terms of finances or, like you said, food or whatever else, well, you just try to figure out ways to become more self-sufficient, which, you know, we're always trying to do that. So,
start a high-capacity containment pig farm in your basement.
No.
That would work.
I suppose. But, you know.
Pork chops are good.
Bacon is good. I don't have an interesting answer to this question. I don't have an interesting answer to any question, so I don't even know why I'm here. I'm
wondering why you look surprised. I feel like we're not so inspired this episode.
It's probably me.
No, I think it's both. But I don't feel. I think we're just a little...
a little under the weather, I think.
I don't know. We've been partying a lot. What did you do over the holiday?
I just went...
Other than eat a lot of tofurkey, apparently.
I just went back to the farm. No, I didn't have any tofurkey.
Oh, did you go back to the farm?
Mm-hmm.
So what'd you eat there?
Well, you know, mashed potatoes and...
Mashed potatoes are made of beef.
Green beans and...
Green beans are made from chicken.
And things of that nature.
We went to a place in Solon last night called Joe's Roadhouse.
Yeah, I heard that.
It's a biker bar. I'm not entirely sure where I went there. But it turns out they have really, really good
roads. They have a biker bar in Solon?
Yeah.
Huh.
But it's a nice place. Like, it's a full restaurant. So I would recommend it to people who live around these parts. Go there and get the ribs. The ribs were really good.
Yeah,
I think hey, I'm... at least I'm bringing stuff to the table.
I know you are.
Yeah, we're really not feeling it today. Go see Ink.
Sorry, everybody.
By which go, I mean go to your TV because it's on Netflix. But
do we have time for another? Maybe
no.
Maybe something exciting will.
We
no?
do not.
Okay. Well, thanks, Cheryl, we're Mark, and Veramond. We're sorry we've been so lackluster. Started out pretty good because we were talking about stuff, or you were anyway.
But then. Tragedy strikes. We used up all our creative juices in the brilliant sitcom idea of Yanni and Stomp.
That was very funny.
Is that what we're just going to call it, Yanni and Stomp, or is it?
No, it's Stomp and Yanni.
Stomp and Stomp. And
that Yanni. Has a, more of a.
You're right.
Flow to it.
Yeah. Stomp, Stomp and Yanni. Stomp and Yanni sounds like my Grateful Dead cover band. So yeah, stay in school, children.
don't do drugs.
Exercise.
Knowing's half the battle.
Knowing half the battle. You know the problem with knowing's half the battle?
There's that whole other half.
No. But you're illustrating my point for me. There is no remaining joke to tell about knowing is half the battle. Every one of them has been done. Because it was just such an arbitrary and ridiculous phrase that everybody leapt on it. And there's no jokes left about knowing is half the battle.
I guess so.
Yeah, it's... Oh, I was about to say something really racist.
Okay, don't do that.
I'm not doing it.
Don't do it.
But for some reason, I...
No, don't even allude to it. Don't say you're not going to do something and then you do
it
anyway.
No, it's not, but that's the thing. No, but people can create their own racist joke. Because when I said, like, it's been done, there's no... It's been so cleanly picked over as a joke that there's nothing left to do. Mm. You very easily can be like, just like, and then name random ethnicity. See, and it's funny because I didn't actually pick one.
Yeah, you didn't.
If I had, then it'd be like, you fucker.
Yeah, not good.
My aunt is one of those, whatever it is. You asshole. One of my best friends at work is one of those.
Right.
I want to do that. I want to make up a fictitious ethnicity and just rip on them all the time.
Why not? I mean, you can make one up that you
and
belong to.
And then if people get offended, I'll be like, dude, I'm half that.
Yeah, exactly. You can do that.
I'm bisexual. My grandfather was bisexual. That makes me quarter bi. I'm quarter bisexual. I don't know why I always remember that from South Park, where they had the whole episode about everybody I'm gay, and Cartman's like, I'm gay. They're like, you're not gay. It's like, well, I'm bi. Well, I'm part bi. My grandfather's bisexual. That made me quarter bi.
But you are an ethnicity, aren't you?
Sure I am. I am the oppressor. I'm 98% English.
What is the ethnicity who is the first to go in an apocalypse of any kind?
Oh.
That is your ethnicity.
Yes.
There are others like you, I'm sure. But what are they called?
Fat, lazy, smart asses. We come from fat, lazy, smart asses, Stan.
And what's the capital? I don't know. Do you?
Go look it up. Fat, lazy, smart ass is Stan. Damn it. That's probably the title of this episode. Right there. Okay, we are way over now.
Sorry.
Sorry,
everyone.
We're so sorry. We're not really, though.
But send a question in.
Yes, to themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Send in a question. It might be randomly drawn out of the hat and then discussed if we feel like it. And have a good week, people. Be better than us. That's weird that I said that.
Be better than us.
It feels profound and randomly stupid at the same time.
And not at all challenging.
No. We are low bar, people. Yeah,
really, we are.
So have a good week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Next week.
I don't even have a funny deal.
We're done.
Jesus. Oh, we suck.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.